Well, all these questions naturally arise in the context, but the passage does not answer them always. Indeed, when Adam, in effect, raises the problem of evil by blaming God for giving him the wife, this is the woman that you have given me. You know, look to yourself, God. You're the one here. And he does this in Genesis 3:12. God offers no rationale for what he has done. Rather, he points out Adam's own wickedness, imposes a curse on him, and then leaves the scene. Kicks him out of the garden, puts a sword and angels there, and then about three chapters later, floods the whole world so that Eden is no more.
Yeah, exactly. So again, you know, God doesn't give him at least the answers that he questioned God about. God tells him what God wants him to know and what God wants him to do. And Frank tells us the same pattern is present in Genesis 22, where God tells Abraham to sacrifice his own beloved son at the child of promise. The reader naturally wants to know how such a command is compatible with God's goodness. Right? How can he say this, right? But God never explains. Unlike Adam, Abraham obviously never raises the issue. And so God commands his quiet, unflinching obedience, that is Abraham's obedience. His faith is commended by God and his faith that God will provide a lamb. And so we see this common, his commending of his faith in various passages in Genesis 22, Romans chapter 4, Hebrews 11. He's part of the faith chapter there where Abraham's faith is commended. Because he just trusts God.
Right, right. We don't see Joseph at the end of Genesis 50 saying, you know, boy, if only there was a shortcut to get to saving my family and feeding all these people, then all those years slaving away in a jail cell or Potiphar's house, he recognizes, hey, what you meant for evil, God intended for good. And this is just the way it played out. It seems that I don't know if it's necessarily gives God a pass, but he, Joseph doesn't kind of deal with it. And when we looked at Job many, many times, we don't see him asking for more explanation. He almost repents from his assertions, what little there was. I mean, here Job is talking about, you know, that look, I, you know, but point out my sin. I have no sin. As three friends come and say, no, Job, you must have sinned at some point in time in your existence. There must be such a degree that God has wrought this on you. And he's like, no, I'm innocent. And then when he has this dialogue with God, he falls down and says, you know, what was me? I can't even stand up. Who am I to answer to God? And so we see this throughout scripture of this. Well, you know, I'm not facing the holy and mighty God here in front of my face. I'm not able to do this, but I can question it with other people of saying, well, I wonder why. So that's where we're at as far as what scripture gives us.
Yeah. And Frame is going to deal with Job here in just a bit. And he does mention the same thing as you have suggested here. Yeah. You know, initially Job is full of questions. And then of course, by the end, Job is repenting because he realizes his particular state. Mm-hmm.